Hi, this is Tolga Karayayla. In this lecture, we are going to learn about path-independent line integrals of vector fields. Okay, for a vector field capital F, the line integral of f dot dr on C is called path-independent in a domain D if, for each pair of points A and B in D, the result of the line integral on C of f dot dr is the same for all curves C in D from the point A to the point B. In other words, the result of the line integral on C of f dot dr depends only on the initial point A of C and on the terminal point B of C, but it does not depend on the path C from A to B as long as C is a curve which completely lies in the domain D. So if we know that the line integral of f dot dr is path independent on a domain D, if we take three curves as shown in the figure C1, C2, C3 from the point A to the point B, and if we take two other curves C4 and C5 from a point P1 to a point P2, then we can say that the line integrals on C1, C2 and C3 of f dot dr are equal to each other, and we can also say that the line integral on C4 equals the line integral on C5 for f dot dr. But the result of the line integral on C1 and the line integral on C4 may be different because C1 is from A to B, C4 is from P1 to P2. So they don't have the same initial point and the same terminal point. That's why the line integral on these two curves, C1 and C4, may be different. But when we look at C1, C2, C3, they all start at A and they all terminate at B. That's why the line integral on these three curves will be the same if the line integral of f dot dr is path independent. But the question is, does there exist such path independent line integrals? Actually, from physics, we know that the gravitational vector field is conservative. When you move an object from a point to another point, the total work done does not depend on the path the object travels during that motion. So physics tells us that there are such path-independent line integrals. The question here is, when a vector field is given, what does characterize path-independent line integrals? How do you know that the line integral of a vector field is path-independent on a domain D? What is the characterization? That's the question that we want to answer now. Okay, if we now move on to the next page, we are going to look at a theorem which we can call the fundamental theorem of line integrals. It states the following. Now, if we have a function lowercase f which has continuous first order partial derivatives on a domain D, then when we calculate the line integral of the gradient of f dot dr on a curve C in D, the result will be simply f of b minus f of a, where here b denotes the terminal point of C and a is the initial point of C. So for the gradient vector field of a function small f, lowercase f, gradient of f dot dr as a line integral, its result is just the value of the function f at the terminal point minus the value of the function f at the initial point of the curve C, where that curve C lies in the domain D, where that function f has continuous first order partial derivatives. We can remark that the result of this line integral just depends on the terminal and initial points of the curve C. As a result, we can say that the line integral is path independent on that domain D. We are going to come to this path independence in the next page in another theorem, but let's first focus on why that theorem is correct. Let's look at the proof of this theorem. We are going to give the proof for a function f of x, y, z, which means we are going to give the proof in three dimensions for the vector field gradient of f as a vector field in three dimensions, but for a function f of xy, the gradient will be a vector field in R2, in two dimensions, and the same argument will give the proof. Now, let's say C is a curve in D such that its parametrization is given as xyz equals r of t equals x of t, y of t, z of t, where t is between a and b as numbers. Now, if you want to calculate the line integral on C of gradient of f dot dr, this will be the line integral on C of f sub x dx plus f sub y dy plus f sub z dz. When we use the given parametrization and convert this line integral of the vector field to a definite integral, this equals the definite integral from a to b of f sub x at x of t, y of t, z of t times x prime t plus f sub y at x of t, y of t, z of t times y prime t plus f sub z at x of t, y of t, z of t times z prime t. In short, this is f sub x times x prime t plus f sub y times y prime t plus f sub z times z prime t. And by using chain rule, we can see that this expression, the integrand here that we are integrating from a to b, is nothing but the derivative dy dt of f of x of t, y of t, z of t. Right? As you remember, by chain rule, the derivative of f of x of t, y of t, z of t with respect to t, as long as f has continuous first order partial derivatives, was equal to f sub x of x of t, y of t, z of t times x prime plus f sub y times y prime t plus f sub z times z prime t, which is exactly what we had in the above line as the integrand. At the end, we have the line integral from the definite integral from a to b of the derivative of f of x of t, y of t, z of t, dt. By fundamental theorem of calculus now, the result will be just f of x of t, y of t, z of t from t equals a to t equals b, because this f of x of t, y of t, z of t is an antiderivative of this integrand here. So the result is simply f of x of b, y of b, z of b minus f of x of a, y of a, z of a, when we substitute t equals b and t equals a and take the difference, which just equals f of capital B minus f of capital A, where capital B, which is r of b, is the terminal point of C, and capital A, r of lowercase a, is the initial point of the curve C. So that's the proof of the theorem. At the end, we obtained that the line integral on C of gradient of f dot dr is f of terminal point minus f of initial point of the curve C. Okay, in the next page, we have another theorem about path independence now. So the theorem states the following. The line integral on C of f dot dr is path independent on a domain D if and only if the vector field capital F is conservative on that domain D. When phi is a potential function of the vector field, of the conservative vector field capital F, which means that when capital F is the gradient of phi on the domain D, we have the following. The line integral on C of F dot dr equals phi of B minus phi of A, where A is the initial point of the curve C and B is the terminal point of the curve C, where here C is considered as a curve in D, of course. So the theorem states that the path-independent line integrals, line integral of f dot dr on a domain D, are exactly the line integrals of conservative vector fields capital F on D. So a line integral is path-independent if and only if this vector field is conservative on the given domain D. And when the vector field is conservative, such that a potential function is given by phi, the result of the line integral of f dot dr on a curve C is equal to the value of the potential at the terminal point, phi of b minus the value of the potential function at the initial point, phi of a. Okay, now this is an if and only if statement, and to prove such a statement, we can prove each direction separately. Let's prove the theorem. Let's prove the theorem from right to left, which means when the vector field is conservative, let's show that the line integral is path independent. So if we assume that the given vector field capital F is conservative on D, such that capital F is the gradient of a function phi on D, then for any curve C which lies on D, using the previous theorem, which we had called the fundamental theorem of line integrals, you can say that the line integral on C of F dot dr, which equals the line integral on C of gradient of phi dot dr, as a result of the previous theorem, we can simply write the result as phi of b minus phi of a, where b is the terminal point and a is the initial point of the curve C. As a result, we see that the result of the line integral depends only on the initial point and the terminal point of the curve C. Thus, we can say that the line integral of f dot dr is path independent in the given domain D. This was the proof of the right statement equals the left statement. This is the proof of the theorem from right to left. Now, let's look at the implication from left to right, which means if the line integral is path independent, then the vector field is conservative. To prove this, we assume that the given line integral f dot dr is a path independent line integral in the given domain D. Our aim is now to show that the vector field capital F is conservative on D. To prove this, now assume that the given domain D is connected, which means that any two points can be connected by a curve. If D is connected, now we can choose a fixed point x0, y0, z0, which lies in the domain D. And we can define now a function phi of x, y, z as follows. Phi of x, y, z will be equal to the line integral on a curve C of f dot dr, where this curve C is any curve in D from the point x0, y0, z0 to the point x, y, z. So the result of the function phi of x, y, z is given as the line integral on a curve from x0, y0, z0 to x, y, z. Now, note that we have assumed that the line integral is path independent, so no matter which such curve C is chosen from x0, y0, z0 to x, y, z, the result of this line integral on that curve C will be the same. That's why we can really define such a function. The choice of the curve C from x0, y0, z0 to x, y, z as a curve in D will not change the result of this line integral. So by choosing just one such curve, the result of the line integral will be the value of our function phi of x, y, z. And if the domain D is not connected, then it will consist of some connected components. And in each component, you can choose a fixed point, and then you can define the function phi of x, y, z as the line integral on a curve from the chosen point to the point x, y, z at which you want to calculate the value of the function. So this is how we define a function. But now the claim here is that this function phi is a potential function for the capital F vector field, which means that if our vector field capital F is given as P, Q, R, then phi sub x equals P, phi sub y equals Q, and phi sub z equals R. Now I'm going to explain why phi sub y is equal to Q. To show that phi sub y is equal to Q, now if we define phi sub y at x1, y1, z1, which is a partial derivative as a limit, this will be the limit as h approaches 0 of phi of x1, y1 plus h comma z1 minus phi of x1 y1 z1 divided by h. We take the limit of this as h goes to 0. But remember that the value of phi is defined as a line integral on a curve from x0 by 0, z0 to the point at which we want to calculate the value of the function phi. Now, if we choose a point c1 from x0 by 0, z0 to x, y, z, and then a curve c2 from x1, y1, z1 to x1, y1 plus h, z1, then phi of x1, y1 plus h, z1 can be written as the line integral on c1 union c2. And from this we subtract phi of x1, y1, z1, which is the line integral of f dot dr on the curve c1. So the line integral on c1 union c2 minus the line integral on c1 can be simply written as the line integral on c2, and our limit then corresponds to the line integral on c2 of f dot dr divided by h, as the limit is taken while h approaches 0. Now, the curve c2 is the curve from x1, y1, z1 to x1, y1 plus h, z1, where x and z coordinates don't change, but y coordinate changes from y1 to y1 plus h. So in the parameterization, x and z are constants, and y is given as, let's say, y1 plus t, as t goes from 0 to h. As a result, by converting this line integral to a definite integral, what we want to calculate corresponds to the limit as h goes to 0 of the integral, the definite integral from 0 to h of q of x1, y1 plus t, z1 dt divided by h. When you look at the limit, this is a 0 over 0 indeterminate form. When you apply L'Hopital's rule, the derivative of the integral above by fundamental theorem of calculus will correspond to q of x1, y1 plus h, z1. But as h goes to 0, its limit will be nothing but q of x1, y1, z1, and the derivative of h in the denominator will be 1. So by applying L'Hopital's rule and using fundamental theorem of calculus, you can at the end see that the result of that limit calculation is nothing but q of x1, y1, z1. So what did we see now? Phi sub y at x1, y1, z1 is nothing but q of x1, y1, z1, which tells us that for that function phi we have defined on D, phi sub y is q. Similarly, we can show that phi sub x is p and phi sub z is r, which proves at the end that the gradient of phi is the given vector field capital F, and this proves the other direction of the theorem. So this completes the proof of the if and only if theorem. So if we remember what the theorem tells us again, the line integral of a vector field is path independent on a domain D if and only if this vector field capital F is a conservative vector field on that given domain D. Okay, another important theorem in the next page is stated as follows. The line integral of f dot dr on C is independent of path on a given domain D if and only if the result of the line integral of f dot dr on any closed curve C which lies in D is 0. So the line integral on C of f dot dr on a closed curve C is 0 for all closed curves C which lie in the domain D. Okay, so the theorem tells us that for a line integral to be path independent in the domain D, this is equivalent to saying that the result of the line integral on all closed curves C which lie in that domain D is 0. Okay, again, for the proof, we first prove the direction from left to right, which means if we assume that the line integral of f dot dr is path independent on D, you want to now conclude that the result of the line integral on closed curves is 0. So let's choose any closed curve C which lies in the domain D. Then if we choose two points, P1 and P2 on the curve C, we can separate the curve C into two pieces, C1 and C2. C1 will be from P1 to P2 on one part of the curve C, and the remaining part of the curve C, from that point P2 to P1 back, can be named as C2. So C is the union of the directed curves, C1 union C2. Then minus C2 is a curve from P1 to P2. And since we have assumed that the line integral is path independent, we can say that the line integral on C1 is the same as the line integral on minus C2, which is minus the integral on C2 of f dot dr. Using these equalities, then the line integral on the closed curve C is the line integral on C1 union C2, which is the line integral on C1 plus the line integral on C2. But we know that the line integral on C1 from above, it equals minus the line integral on C2. So at the end we obtain the minus the line integral on C2 plus the line integral on C2. These cancel each other to give the result 0. So we have seen that the result of the line integral on that chosen closed curve C must be equal to 0. This proves the direction from left to right for the given theorem. Now let's prove the direction from right to left for this theorem, which means that by assuming that the result of the line integral on all closed curves in D are 0, now we want to show that the line integral is path independent on D. So let's choose two arbitrary curves, C1 and C2, in the given region D, which starts at a point A and which terminates at the point B. So C1 and C2 have the same initial point A and have the same terminal point B, let's say. Then the curve C, which is C1 union minus C2, will be a closed curve which lies in D. And by our assumption, the line integral on C, which is a closed curve now, must be 0. But the line integral on C is the line integral on C1 union minus C2, which means the line integral on C1 plus the line integral on minus C2, and the result is 0, because C is closed curve, and by assumption, line integral on closed curves is 0. But then we obtain the line integral on C1 minus the line integral on C2 of the vector field f dot dr is 0, which means the line integral on C1 of f dot dr equals the line integral on C2 of f dot dr, which tells us that the line integral is path independent. Okay, so this completes the proof of this theorem. So we have proved three theorems in a row, and combining the previous two theorems, we can state the following theorem, which summarizes the relation between conservative vector fields and path-independent line integrals. Okay, the theorem states that the following three statements are equivalent. The first statement is capital F is a conservative vector field on a domain D. The second statement is the line integral of f dot dr is path independent on that given domain D. The third statement is the result of the line integral of f dot dr on a closed curve equals 0 for all closed curves C which completely lie in that domain D. Okay, to say that the three statements are equivalent means the following. Actually, when one of the statements is true, then all three statements are true. And if one of them is false, then all three are false. Okay, we had the previous theorem tells us that two and three are equivalent. Two, if and only if three, was proved in the previous theorem. And the theorem in the second previous theorem actually was telling us that one if and only if two is correct. So we have the equivalence of these three statements. So they mean the same thing. To say that a vector field f is conservative on D means the same as the line integral of f dot dr is path independent on that domain D, which means the same thing as saying that the result of the line integral is zero on all closed curves that lie in the given domain D. Okay, this is the characterization of path independent line integrals. Now let's look at some examples where we apply this information we obtained by proving these theorems. And in the example here, we want to calculate the line integral over the curve C of e to power x squared plus y dx plus x plus 1 dy, where C is the right half of the ellipse x squared over 4 plus y squared equals 1 from the point 0, comma minus 1 to the point 0, comma 1. Okay, for the solution now, if we call the vector field capital F of xy equals p comma q, which is the vector field integrated on that line C in the question, this vector field has components e to power minus x squared plus y for the x component and x plus 1 for the y component. So p and q are given as p equals e to power minus x squared plus y and q equals x plus 1. For these component functions p and q, when we calculate q sub x and p sub y, they are both equal to 1. So q sub x is p sub y on the domain D, which is all of R2. P and q are defined on all of R2, and q sub x and p sub y, they exist on all of R2, and they are equal to each other. And this domain D, which is R2, is simply connected. If you remember a previous theorem we have proved in a previous lecture, for a vector field capital F in R2 with component functions P and Q, if Q sub X equals P sub Y on the domain D, and if that domain D is simply connected, then we know that the vector field is conservative. So here we check that Q sub X is P sub Y on R domain D, which is R2, and D equals R2 is a simply connected domain. As a result, we can conclude that our vector field F is a conservative vector field. Now, we know that for a conservative vector field, the line integral of F dot dr is path independent on the domain D where F is conservative. Here, D is all of R2. As a result, the line integral of that vector field F dot dr is path independent on all of R2. As a result, to calculate the line integral on the given curve C, we can choose a simpler curve from the same initial point to the same terminal point, and we can calculate the line integral of F dot dr on that simpler curve. And since F is conservative, the line integral is path independent, and the line integral on C of F dot dr will be equal to the line integral on C2 of F dot dr. We can choose a simpler curve from the point 0, comma minus 1 to the point 0, comma 1 as the line integral on the y-axis from that point 0, comma minus 1 to the point 0, comma 1. And that curve C2 can be parameterized as xy equals 0, comma t, where t ranges from minus 1 to 1. So our answer for the question is the line integral on C of that vector field equals the line integral on C2 of e to power minus x squared plus y dx plus x plus 1 dy. And for the curve C2 on the parameterization, x is 0, so dx will be 0 dt, and y is t. As a result, dy will be 1 dt. And when we replace x, y, dx, and dy by those expressions,